Greetings and welcome to Baron's Crypt, our 257th show. I hope everyone has, well, survived the holidays by watching horror movies. On the horror times, we've given you the information of how to split up your entire month, of what horror films you should have watched when and how and all that. There were many people who were quite happy to find out their film was listed in our deluxe methodology, if you would. We poured in a ton of movies into that. Now, some people have already said, hey, Baron, there were a lot more holiday films that have been released since you did that list. Yes, that's true. Eventually, we will do another list. We will probably wait until we have a really good abundance. We don't just want to do a whole new list when there's maybe, and just for example, they've added 5 new movies. We're going to wait until they add in a lot more, because our job then would be to go, okay, let's start competing with the Hallmark channel out there that decided to invade our Halloween season by starting Christmas movies around October 23rd is when they started that. So our goal really is to get enough movies of Christmas orientation, if you would, to pour in to last us all that time. Now, if we do that, I'll be quite honest, that is going to rank up there with probably, I would say, at least 4 parts. Now, of course, you may say, well, that's not too hard to do. Actually, it is. The way we do it, and the way I do any kind of list, it's not a matter of just anybody out there can put down 1 through 100 or whatever it may be of films in a list. Anybody can do that. That's the easy way. We here at the Horror Times, we don't do that. It doesn't happen that way. We have to give you detail. We have to give you a summary. We have to give you information. We give you pictures. We give you videos. Sometimes we give you the whole movie to watch. So in that situation, that would take something of us starting probably in June, of us writing it all, getting it all formatted out and saying, okay, we're ready to roll this thing out on whatever day Hallmark decides to launch its bid. We would counter with, well, here we go out the door with our bid. And look, could we do that? Of course we could. We could actually turn that around and say, well, instead of watching all the Silent Night, Deadly Night movies in one day, let's spread that out over a course. But no, that's like cheating. We don't like to do that. We like to make it all kind of original. So, with that being said, that's how that little world is going to work. Now, you may not realize, but we hadn't been on the air for really the last 2 months here. Not at a consistent basis. This show is supposed to be on every week, and we weren't. And that's really simple. I basically, after my father died, and my best friend, my biggest supporter, my uncle, my godfather, passed away 1 month and 1 week after my father died. I tried to throw myself back into my work. But what started to happen? COVID's coming on there, right? I'm losing friends almost every month. I lost a lot of them. And you know, and people said, wow, that's a lot of friends. And I said, yes, they had health ailments, and a lot of them lived alone. you know, they were really big in their collections. So a lot of different things were happening in that kind of world, if you would, for them. And I just kept trying to throw myself back into the work, but I would always find resistance. I was always finding more agony, if you would. The last 2 months, it really hit hard. It really honestly hit hard. I looked at all the things my father and I did in just the month of November alone. You have to understand something. My mother passed away basically 26 years ago, and it was just me and him for the longest time. And let me just tell you this. When you live with you're living with your father, because you've got to kind of take care of him at the same time, and he's a former U.S. Marine who fought in World War II, let's just say your eating habits are quite unusual. You're eating things that most people would just go, ew, oh God, what are they eating now? I mean, honestly, we would eat things out of cans. We didn't heat them up. Just eat it out of the can. Just how you did things. So why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you all this because tonight's show and what might become a true reality is that we might be doing pre-recorded shows. Now you're saying, wait a minute. Say what? If you've been listening to the Baron Craze Radio Network, and you may say, wait, what's that? Okay, let's get over these couple little hurdles here. The first little hurdle for you to understand is that the Baron Craze Radio Network is basically Shredded Metal Beast, Sinister Death, Baron's Crypt, Hard Rock Madness, Mysterious Void, Screaming Horror, and Synth Pathways. That is our seven main shows. Now, while they don't go off every single day, which they could, they are now all pre-recorded shows, which means all those, except for the Baron's Crypt, are three-hour marathon music shows. That's a lot of music, and that's a lot of a show. So, how do we get turned on to doing pre-recorded? Well, a friend reached out to me, and he said, listen, I know I told you about pre-recorded shows a while back, but you didn't really buy into that. You thought, let's do it live. And live is great, don't get me wrong. I like live. I get to have call-ins and different things like this. But we might occasionally do a live show every once in a while just to kind of keep it fresh. But the pre-recorder allows me a couple advantages. It allows me to free up my time in other spots so I can work on more reviews and get more things done. It also allows me to have that moment where I have a topic in horror come up, whether it's somebody's passing or it's a film or some other thing comes up. I can then take that time to go, wait a minute, this is how I feel about that subject, or this is what I feel. Also, by doing a pre-recorded, I can blend in then sound effects. I can blend in interviews. I can really take a lot of different pieces and put it into the show and build it in a more efficient and professional manner, if you would. Now, will we always have pre-recorded? No. We will have live shows throughout the year. It's going to happen. People like live shows. They like how our audience is very interactive with us by sending us messages through a direct message on Twitter or messaging us through Facebook. That is always great when we have a guest on. I really do appreciate that a lot. But when we can, we're going to do the pre-recorded shows because, again, it frees up time because I get a lot of movies sent to me. There's a lot of people who reach out to me on Twitter in different places and they go, Baron, I have a movie. I'm looking for reviews. And what's really cool is, you know, they'll tag a lot of the big ones out there. You know, Dread Central, Fangoria, the Horror Society, and so forth. And it's really incredible when your name gets added to that list. I mean, to me, that's a thrill. It really is. I'm like, wow, wait a minute. Or somebody goes, oh, listen, you're looking for the best reviewer, the one that's going to give you the honest review. They go, yeah, you want Baron Krays. Now, somebody said that on Twitter this past week, and I thought, wow, that means a lot. And there's been some filmmakers this year who've reached out to me for different films, and I didn't get them done. And they were like, hey, Baron, why didn't you get that movie done? And then they found out why. And they're like, okay. They hit the brakes and said, oh, we don't have to worry. Oh, no, the Baron went through something that is too much for us to handle. And look, I'll get to those films. I've watched them. I have this incredible ability. I watch your film, and I'm going to say 95% of the time, your film will be kind of that kept in my brain. So when I start writing about it, I'm almost like pulling your film up and kind of watching it in my mind as I write about it. And that's, you know, pretty cool for a lot of people. And I saw these different films. I saw Silhouette, We Are the Missing. There's a few others I saw. One that just came up on my desk, if you would, called Psycho Ape, I believe it's called. And I'm going to be reviewing these movies, most likely in January. Now, there was a lot of films that I didn't get to review this year that are on my slate. And, you know, when the month started out, I really thought, oh, I could get all these done. There were people around me who knew better, saying, there's no way. As the month creeps on, your depression level is going to sink further down on so many different categories. And you're not going to be able to write. And you know what? They were right. I couldn't do it. I had trouble. And, you know, it's just one of those things. You know, I said, damn, I really was hoping to get more done. So, I'm talking to you right now. It is 9:57 a.m. It's the 30th. And I'm literally going to try. I am going to give it my bona fide serious attempt to write at least 3 article reviews, and these are usually the bigger or longer ones, on 3 anniversary films. I'm going to try to get a television movie review done. I'm going to try to get a couple film ones also done, along with some PRs. And people are going, you know, I sit down and I tell people that I'm going to do certain things, and they're looking at me going, I'm going to get this straight now. You're going to try what in one day? You're going to try to get how much done in technically 2 days of time? And I'm going, yeah, I think if I really push and pressure myself, I should be able to get it done. And I hope that's what happens. We do have a lot going into our issue. Now, for the last maybe 2 months or something, we have done about 3 issues this year that were double issues. And we might continue that pattern going into 2021. Different work schedules, different things that are happening. It might just be the best thing we can do right now in piling up a double issue. Does that mean that's always going to be the way? No. Does that mean things will change? Yes. You have to understand, the entertainment business right now is truly in pieces. It is very difficult of what's going on in every aspect. You thought funding a horror film before was tough? Whoa. Now with COVID and affecting so many people's jobs, it's even tougher. It really is. We here have not had a horror convention, and I don't see one happen. I'll be very honest with you. A lot of people know here in Jersey, in March, really starts the avalanche of convention season. I just don't see it happening. You want me to be honest? I don't see it. Why? Well, people are going to take the vaccine. Some aren't going to take the vaccine. The numbers are climbing. The numbers are falling. They're climbing. They're falling. They're climbing. They're falling. You got people coming in from all over the place. I really don't know how conventions are going to work. Are stars going to stand up and get close to somebody else that they don't know to get their, you know, to get the photo op? I don't know. I don't know how any of this is going to work. I don't know if they're going to sign your merchandise or they're going to say, sorry, I'm not signing anything, but I will sign my picture and slide that to you. I don't know. There's been a lot of talk about how these conventions are going to work. And, you know, one of the big things I've really heard about in a lot of kind of chat rooms and private message boards and things, and when you say private, what do you mean, Baron? What I'm talking about is the fact that we will be having these discussions in these, I don't want to say Zoom meetings, but there have been a couple of them, where we're sitting and we're talking about how do you think the conventions are going to operate. Now, some are just going to set the tables out and just roll the dice. This isn't smart. Why isn't this smart? Here is a prime reason. We live in a society where oftentimes a lawyer is in your top five direct phone calls on your phone. Seriously, that is quite often the case. And I guarantee you at these conventions, at these trade shows, there will be lawyers hunting. To them, it's open season. And who will they hunt? That's easy. They're going to hunt for the hotel, the convention center, the convention itself, the people, the vendors possibly, the star maybe. Any one of these could be their hunting grounds. They're stalking, if you would. Now, if they're stalking, that's going to be a problem, right? So I see that the vendors, everybody there is going to be covering up with more insurance for protection, obviously. But that costs more money. You think about it, your average vendor's got to spend money for their tables, for their chair, for electricity to their area, perhaps even for the credit card machine. Unless they're going to do a cash business, and that's another way of going. But cash, there's something, right? We have, throughout this country now, a change, when I say change, quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies, shortage. I don't know why, but we do. People are a little afraid to accept money because they go, well, it's dirty. And I look at this, money's always been dirty. And I don't mean in the biblical sense or anything. I'm talking about money being dirty in a whole nother. Have you ever thought about what is on money? Let's face it. I have to tell you this. But your money has got basically every possible dirty thing there is. I mean, think about it. Yeah, that money has got everything on it. They actually say that almost practically all the money in the world, okay, it isn't a brand new bill, has a trace of some sort of drug on it. So when that dog gets a whiff, you know, technically speaking, he's getting a whiff off of money. Money that has changed hands how many countless times. So with that all being said, I was like, okay, you know, what do you think is going to happen? And really nobody knows. You know, are people going to wear face masks? Probably. A lot of horror fans are. Why? Because, well, it fits the motif, right? You know, and these are just some of the things that go on, right? Now, a whole nother thing, let's switch subjects, right? And this is a pretty cool thing that I can do. I can do this on this show. Is that being a pre-recorded show, it allows me to do different things, right? Now, before I switch, I do want to state that occasionally what we're going to be doing is we're going to be playing music on the show. That's right. We're going to do it. Now, we're going to be playing a song from a band actually on our show. And it's going to be different because I'm not used to doing it this way. This is how messed up this is. This is how, how should I put this? These will be things that, to be quite honest, we are going to be in a kind of a, as one person would be, a learning situation that we're not used to, that we're like, oh, wait a minute, I got to do what now? How does this work? How does that work? Well, we're going to be playing some music from a band called the Karsteins. They're a horror punk band that we got permission to play a little while back, and we're going to be playing a track here from them called, and if I can just get the name right here so I don't want to screw it up, A Flash of My Deadly Blade, followed by I'm Going to Slit Your Throat. We're going to be playing those in just a moment, then we'll be back to talk about some more horror topics. Hope you're all enjoying the Baron's Crypt, our 257th show.
Bertie! He's not dead! He's alive! He's here! Run! For God's sake, run!
Your sickness will die with you. What you know will be forgotten. I used to shut your mouth closed. Now I will shut it with my blade. You run to the hallway. There's no escape, no way. I will rip you open. You know there's no hope. You will see. Flash of my deadly blade. Rip up my loose with my blade. Cut your throat directly. Your blood will spill on my hands. But then this cry will be seen. There's no escape, no way. I will rip you open. You know there's no hope. You will see. Flesh of my deadly blade.
The girls are always right. The girls are always right.
All right, we just finished listening to the Karsteins. We actually played three tracks of theirs. We started off with Flash of My Deadly Blade, followed by I'm Gonna Slit Your Throat. And then the bonus track we decided to play that was Dead Girls Are Always Right. All right, so again, they're a really cool band. They're found on Facebook and Bandcamp. Definitely check them out. All right, moving back into our main show here. I recently had the opportunity to review a film called The Battery. It came out in 2012. I want to see here. The director was Jeremy Gardner. I hope I got his name right there. Anyway, this is a film that basically has two personalities of... it's going to be the personalities of two former baseball players. And they're kind of clashing with each other as they travel through back roads of a post-plague New England, teaming with the undead. This film's got a lot of intellectual aspects to it. And it kind of brought up a really interesting point that that kind of really, you know, was put into the review. And a lot of people saying, wait a minute, you just wrote the review, you just put it out there, everything else, and now you're going to talk about it. Yes. Because there's this one part where it gets an interesting aspect to say, you know, I kind of spitballed it to the people around me. I said, how many zombie movies has there been? Excuse me. So they said, one said, well, I looked it up and there's about 273 zombie movies. I thought, well, that's a good number. Then somebody else came out and said, no, there's over 7,000. Wait a minute. That's a really wide chasm between these two numbers. How do you come up with this number? And here's where we get in there. We've never actually defined what a zombie movie is. Okay. Give a pause there. Why? Because it's not simple. Because let's think about this. When we talk about zombie movies, what are we talking about? We're talking about that there's other words that get incorporated into zombie. For example, the word undead. Okay, it's an undead creature. It's an undead monster. It's an undead zombie. Okay, it's undead. That's a word that gets used a lot. Another one, the living dead. Well, they are living and they are dead, and hence the living dead. Okay. But see, when we then use that word undead, how does that word undead then get translated into other things? Well, vampires. Now you're saying, whoa, Baron, you can't say vampires are zombies. No, but I'm trying to figure out how they come up to this number of over 7,000 movies. In fact, you really want to know the exact number. 7,300 movies are considered zombie movies. So I said, oh, wait a minute. There must be a clearer understanding to all this. And that understanding has to come in the form of what are you using as your parameters for defining what a zombie is. So again, back to vampires. If you've watched enough vampire movies, you've heard them call creatures of the night or the undead. Now, that word undead is then being used in the keyword phrasing for these films. Well, guess what? If someone's looking up zombies and then they're looking up keywords such as undead or the living dead, then you're actually now incorporating those kind of creatures into your undead world. But wait, it can go further. Frankenstein's monster. Okay? That's going to straighten out. When we see Frankenstein, Frankenstein is not really the doctor, although he gets that kind of title given to him. He's more of a scientist than anything else. Well, he's got the Frankenstein monster. Well, where's this monster come from? We learn from reading the story, and we learn from watching the movies that they're gathering parts from corpses. Well, there you go again, corpses. Now, that's another word that you can throw into the entire zombie world. I mean, think about it. We have plenty of titles out there about a corpse rising from the dead and such. So Frankenstein monster uses a corpse, gets an abnormal brain, and there we go. He brought something back from the dead. And he used electricity to do it. Guess who else is put into this category of zombies? And I think this is completely wrong. Don't even get me started here. But guess what they're using into this this formula for themselves? Jason Voorhees. That's right. You heard me correctly. Jason Voorhees. That's right. Friday the 13th. I can't believe it. Why? Well, you see, here we go again. Obviously, he keeps coming back from the dead to avenge his mother's death. Or really, not his mother's death, his mother's murder, if you would. And he keeps coming back. So they go, well, wait a minute. That means Jason is a zombie. And I'm going, no. Well, I guess. I mean, oh, God, what are you doing? Is then Michael Myers considered part of this? Or is that because technically we never actually see him really die? He just seems always get around again. But no, we got Jason. So Jason in part 6 gets to be resurrected, if you would, from lightning, like Frankenstein. And therefore, he was dead, and now he's living again. So obviously, you got it. It's bingo time. They made the connections. Jason is part of the zombie world. Now, when I first was told that 7,000, I thought, I said, no. You're thinking of TV episodes and everything else. And they went, nope, I'm talking movies. Because, you know, you got the crossovers. You got your comedies. Shaun of the Dead. All right. Shaun of the Dead, I see that. And there you go there. Of the Dead. See, another one, right? Or Burial Ground. Another film that uses terms of macabreness. So again, what have we learned? We learned that if you use the words undead, the living dead, of the dead, burial ground, cemeteries, all these kind of words, and of course zombie, all get pushed into this one big pot. Okay? And if you, as you're pouring all this in, just think about it. Instead of pouring in just ingredients into a, say, a 5-quart pot for a big stew, nope, we're pouring in all these types of movies. And what I'm telling you, when they're stretching out there, and I mean stretching, I mean to take Friday the 13th, a slasher films, and say, okay, that's zombie. Jason's a zombie. I mean, you got to start going with, okay, all right, I'm confused, highly and heavily. Vampires are included in there. What else can be included? Are werewolves included? I mean, they're not exactly undead, but they can be stopped for a while. They can appear dead, and then they just go, well, that wasn't a silver bullet you used on me, so I'm getting up and moving around again. Could you? I suppose you could. But wait, what about using ghosts? I mean, we got ghosts being resurrected, right? So is that part of the zombie universe? Guess what? Yes, it is. See? Now, think about that. Now we're saying ghosts, the paranormal. This, okay, is now part of the undead rising. And you're thinking, wait a minute. How the hell do you get that one? Oh, you're going to love this. You're just going to love this. You remember the character Kane from the Poltergeist movies? Well, obviously he's dead. But he's walking around. He's talking. He's interacting. Therefore, he's a zombie. I mean, I seriously cannot believe that they're making these, all these connections. I'd have to say that this is a very strange intersection, a five-street type of intersection where you're just pushing everything in every direction to one big pile up. You can't do this. So I guess it comes down to trying to say, well, what incorporates a zombie? Well, see, we still haven't talked about the other X factor in the room. You know what I'm going to go to. You should know. Viruses. You got it. Viruses, or being contaminated in some form or another. So now you take these two elements, viruses and such. This is how we kind of get to our more faster zombie flicks. You know, your 28 Days, 28 Days Later, Dawn of the Dead, the remake. Okay, these movies, we've got the zombies going faster. Of course, also should note that in that 28 Days Later, we also see the zombies near the end starving to death, which I think is a good point. I mean, how long does a zombie need to go before it starts to deteriorate without food? I mean, face it, everything in life needs food to sustain its life force, right? So there you go. Now, before I get to Life Force itself, the movie, let's go back here. So we got viruses, virus outbreaks. All that's getting pushed into the pile too. Now we go to Life Force, which I think came out in 85, which is a really, talk about a wacky movie. But we have vampires, and they're dead. Or are they really in stasis? And therefore, if that's the case, they're kind of hibernating, so they're not really dead. But, you know, there we go again. We have this. Now, all these things being worked together is how you probably come up to over 7,300 zombie movies. But is it correct? See, now that's the part that says no. You have to define it further. So, can I define it further? Okay, let's have a few ground rules in place. When we say zombies, we have to say, okay, a zombie is what? You got to define it, right? Now, I could tell you that answer, but I'm not going to. And the reason I'm not going to is because I'm working on an article for a webzine. I forget the exact name of their zine. I don't remember it offhand. Jason Woods on Facebook runs it, so definitely look him up there. But basically, I did a three-part series on the history of zombie movies. And when we discussed the first zombie movie that ever came out in 1932, that zombie, or I should say it correctly, zombie, is really from the voodoo understanding. So we need to understand what a zombie is. And in that article, I clearly try to set down some ground rules for defining the zombie. I don't say zombie culture, but the zombie genre. Because if you think about all the keywords and all the phrasing and all the everything else you got in there, you really can go in a lot of different directions. I mean, face it, a lot of times for these movies, you do have scientists that are trying to create the ultimate soldier. And you may say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Well, think about it. I believe in Shockwaves from 77, it was kind of a subtle part of the plot line that the Nazi regime there in these stories is always trying to come up with the ultimate soldier. Same thing with every government, if you would. Your ultimate soldier, a soldier that will keep on fighting even after death. Now think about that. That means after they die, they're going to then rise up and keep going. Kind of like in Death Dream. There you go. So you have this. Now, the ultimate soldier is supposed to rise up and keep fighting. It's an interesting philosophy. It's an interesting concept. But the basic rule in life, dead is dead. Once you die, game over. You're out of life. Literally. So, you know, to come up with that, I think when I have guests on in the future, I'm going to truly ask them to define a zombie movie. What makes a zombie movie? And I will ask them the questions of vampires and, you know, monsters that are created from human parts. I think it's fascinating. I think it's an interesting dilemma in the horror genre. And I'll be honest, we sat around for, I guess, 2 hours going back and forth over this. People on their phones, their tablets, looking at the collection of horror movies I have, picking out different films that fall into that category. And this became, well, excuse the term, a clusterfuck, if you would, because everybody just kept plugging into what they thought was the right scenario. So, as far as I can break it all the way down, we have probably two main schools of thought of where we get our zombies. The George Romero zombies are the slow, staggering ones. And let's face it, if you were faced with your choice of zombies, you're going with choice number one. Okay? Face it. That's what you want. Because your second choice are the speed demons that I don't care how fast you can run. Eventually, you have to stop running. And these things don't have to stop. They've got increased track record stardom level here. Hey, they're going to, you know, beat the fastest runner there is. Oh, shit, that's not fair. I mean, how do you outrun that? And let's face it, most of America wouldn't last. You know, let's face it, we've got our pot bellies, beer bellies. You know, we're overweight. We've got other ailments. You're talking, what, 350 million Americans? Probably whittle it all the way down to about, what, a million? I mean, after a certain point, it's crazy, right? So, yeah, here we are. We're spending about close to 20 minutes talking about zombies and what is a zombie movie. After all this time to define it, it's not easy. It's really not. When you look it up on an internet movie database, you can get the following numbers. 273. You can get a 3200. You could even get a 1571. You can get, now I didn't do this number through the internet movie database, but it is possible to do this through another search engine. 7,300 zombie movies. Which one's right? I mean, when we look up the words vampire, we also then have to put in the word bloodsuckers. But for the most part, when you put in the word vampire, you're going to get a consistent answer back of how many films that is. We put in mummies. We know about how many we're going to get back. If we put in the word, you know, animals attack, we're going to figure that one out too. But when you get to a point of zombies, you can't do it. It's impossible. There's always some sort of problem there. So, I guess in the end, what can you do? How would you define it? That's a question for you. How would you define zombies? Well, probably when I come back next week or something, we will define zombies a little bit more carefully. That's the great thing about a pre-recorded show, as I sit here and talk to you all, that I'll be able to take on these topics that I've been wanting to take on for a while. I can actually dedicate a whole show to talking about zombies and talking about vampire movies and talking about werewolves and so forth. And talking about them maybe by the decade, you know, that way taking time to really go in and making those, I don't say mini shows, but just giving something else for you out there to enjoy. you know, taking 2 hours and saying, hey, here's a show on werewolves and here's a show on vampires and how do they intersect with each other in the horror realm. Just trying to figure things out. Takes time with this show. One of the things you're probably going to realize from the show, we're not going to do a full one. We're not doing a full 2 hour show. Why? Not really ready to do that. This show is really just to introduce you to what is going to be coming in 2021. And that is, I would say 95% of our shows are going to be pre-recorded in 2021. From our music ones all the way over to our horror. Now, I got a lot of people that have always been asking me, hey, Baron, can you put into your shows interviews you've done with different people? Yes, I can. And yes, I will. Because now I have a better way of doing that. Putting that into a live show to me always felt like I'm cheating you, the audience. Like, oh, well, I don't want to talk anymore, so I'm just going to play this interview and let this go off for 30-some minutes and I'll come back in. But see, a pre-recorded, I can drop that in. I can set that up. I can have some elements there. I can even pause the interview in certain spots to play a portion of a trailer from their film so you guys at least get to hear that. And that way, then we can also take that trailer and we can put it up on Facebook or other sites about, hey, at this, you know, and I'm just going to say, like, I don't know, at 31 minutes and 10 seconds, this trailer is playing in here, but here's the visual to it. You get to, you know, look at it. Maybe even taking it to the point with a pre-recorded that when I'm talking about a certain film or such, that as I'm talking, you can be on the Horror Times site or even maybe on Facebook watching this video. And you go to go, wow, you know, I'm now hearing Baron talk and I'm watching the video and I get to see these two things being worked here as Baron's talking about this said video. This could be a really interesting aspect. Now, some people have asked me, will I be doing vlogging or will I be doing the, YouTube channel? I have to be really honest. I don't think I have the skill set to do that right now. It sounds interesting, yes, but I just don't think I have it there. And, you know, with that being said, you know, what can I possibly do? I can't do everything for everybody. It does become a little hard to constantly try to do that. So, having said that, we are just going to touch on a couple of quick things. Nothing really crazy. We do want to note that where did I see it recently? You may have seen how the movie theaters out there are having a bit of difficulty. You know, they're not selling a lot of seats. People are not going to the theaters. There's not a lot of movies out. All right. You've got some studios out there that are going to try to almost cut out the entire cinematic theaters. Here's the thing. There are plenty of movies out there that need to be seen up on the screen. They just do. You have no choice. You got to see them on the screen. And I'll be honest. I'm trying to think of the movie most recently. It was Freaky. Freaky was an okay film. I give it okay. The kill scenes in the beginning are phenomenal. Then it starts losing gas along the way. I had the opportunity to see this movie. We picked the back row of the theater. And this theater must have been able to hold about 200 people in it easily. And there was only two of us. Two people in that theater went to see the movie Come Play. Again, only two of us were in the theater. I mean, this is kind of weird. I mean, it's cool, but it's weird. You're going to watch a movie on the big screen, and you're the only two people in the theater. That's bizarre. I mean, really, at that moment, you can go sit in any seat you want to because there's nobody else there. But we stayed where we were because, you know, I just figured that was the right thing to do. It was just very interesting. We do want to note that, and just give this a quick note, we're going to touch on this probably more in depth in another show, obviously. The Reanimator star Barbara Crampton is going to star in Back 4 Blood. Just something we've just been kind of giving up here. I think this is probably for a sequel to Left 4 Dead, so just be aware of that, guys. Just a little something we like to try to throw out there for everybody. We do want to mention one other thing that I had the opportunity to watch this movie. And let's see here. Oh, here it is. To Your Last Death. This came out in 2019. Was supposed to get a Blu-ray copy of the film. Didn't happen. However, what did happen was, and I'll take a moment here, a little brief pause. So, where were we? Well, news I can tell you is that this show has been more or less a test show for us. We've learned some issues with doing pre-recorded that are much different from our music shows. We've learned that doing a voice recording show, we have to take breaks during this period of time. We can't just continuously talk like I normally do on a two-hour show. So, we learned that. We've learned that we literally have to have a script laid out, topics to be covered. It can't be just, again, randomized, as I often do on the show. So, these are things I've learned, or I should say we've learned here. Our breaks and our things, you will notice on this show, seem disjointed, don't seem a smooth running show. Why? As again, we have found out that there are some hiccups that we have to work on. And we will work on them. We will be back next year. We're always striving to do a better show. And again, this show is just that. It is a pure 100% test show. We said that at the beginning of when we started it. We've said that throughout the show, and we're saying it now. Why are we saying it now? Well, we look at the time. It's about 4:30 here in New Jersey on New Year's Eve, a year that has been, well, let's face it, the pits. It really has. It hasn't been a fun year for anybody. Not a lot of excitement, not a lot of just joy. It just hasn't been there. People are getting grouchy, rude, just overall, everybody's in a rotten mood. So we can only hope that the new year brings some joy. Now, we're also going to be looking into doing more screaming horror. We're actually working with a couple of people to get us more horror punk music. So we're hoping that gets developed. We're also looking to put on some more music maybe into our shows, along with sound effects and trailers. So those things will be coming into the show. And just to kind of round this out, I just wanted to put this down as, I don't know, what shows did I watch today? Just to kind of put it out there. Somebody said maybe I should do that. And I was like, well, that sounds different. That's kind of unusual, if you would. So I was like, well, why not? I mean, let's face it. There's always been a couple of things that, you know, one could do that could be interesting. And I thought also, I said, What about if we also started looking more into the VOD markets and really kind of get into that too? So I thought, why not, right? So one of the films I got to really kind of watch today, was it? I think it was Wild Board. Let's see if I can remember it. See, again, I can't just sit here and, you know, look up stuff on the net because you can hear the keys being clicked away and such. Okay. Okay, I got the two films up. Now, see, there again, I have to learn that these things have to already be done. I can't be doing them on the show like I do them on the live show. Pre-recorded, you can tell where I'm faking it, if you would. I'm not doing the full prep. So one of the films I watched was a film called Wild Boar. Came out in 2019, 2.7 rating on it. And I can see why it had that rating. Basically about a hidden colony of bloodthirsty mutant pig men preying on innocent humans. Interesting, if you would. I think some of the special effects for the film were pretty good. I thought that. But the overall story just lacked. It didn't really bring enough into it all. I think there was parts where it should have gone further. The entire setup, really, to get the entire story going, really lacked in a lot of spots. Now, if you're curious about watching this film, you can go on to Amazon Prime to find it. The other film I really had a really good time watching was a film called Day of Resurrection. Original title for this is known as Virus. Came out in 1980. And what I find interesting really about this film, if you really want to get down to it, it really, in a lot of ways, spookily, of course, very spooky, reminiscent of today with COVID. This film has got a 6.2 rating. I mean, when you watch, you can definitely tell it's aged. It's not that very good quality of a film. But we basically have, after a virus devastates the global human population, survivors in the Antarctica desperately try to find a cure and save the human race. So we got a few bits of drama, obviously, in here. We also have some real interesting society norms. For example, the I don't know if you want to say military bases, but these bases up in the Antarctica of all these different countries have basically 500 men and only 8 women. Now, that shows a couple things there. It shows the insignificant that at that time, the writers and everything put on women being in scientists or being doctors or whatever their positions are. They're more of an afterthought. During the film, you kind of find out that the women are being raped. And the men that are technically in charge don't know how to really handle this situation. So it's left to the women basically to give up their morals, their religious convictions, everything, to basically become incubators, really, if you want to get down to it, to repopulate the world population. They are basically forced to take turns with each man, which is, you know, very interesting. Now, you got to remember, this is 1980. So we don't have a lot of political correctness in the film. Also, there is no mention of gay or lesbian, lifestyle. That's not there, right? We have no mention of anything resembling a society norm. Also, there's a lot of parts about it where you have people who are supposed to have social distancing, supposed to stay away from one another as best they can, cover up when you're coughing, and so forth. And it does give a little bit of a hint into government structure, so I thought that was neat too. But I thought a lot of the things really mirrored where we are today as a society. Of course, this is obviously a fictional movie, and it goes around the world showing where 7.2 million died, 10 million died, 5 million died, and so forth. So there's a lot of different elements there. I would definitely recommend people watching this movie. I would say it's about maybe 12 minutes under 2 hours, so you got that going for it. It's a PG movie. I wouldn't say it's for young children by any means. No, I wouldn't. The teenager crowd obviously is going to watch it, or has watched it at least. But it's a good movie. It's got a pretty good cast to it, too. You know, and let me just... I always screw up this one name in here. I'm trying to find the... where the hell is his damn name? Watch, I can't find it. Nope, of course not. And like I said, there's a lot of different names for it. Now, Virus, again, is a good movie. I liked it. And, you know, again, we have, I'm trying to find his name. George Kennedy, that's it. I had to find the picture of him. So, yes, there's a lot of great people like that in the film. He does a really good job. I really have to say that. You know, when I see this film and I see him dressed in the Navy uniform, if you would, I automatically think back to Death Ship, that is another film he did in 1980, which was really, how do you want to put that movie? That movie has a very big historical fact input going into it. It deals with the Nazis. There's a lot of parts of the film that really champion up the Nazi regalia, if you would. Although it has a scene that's cut from the movie, and if you can find the uncut version of it to watch, or the missing scene, usually found on YouTube, you'll definitely get a better understanding of the film. Why is the scene cut? I don't know, but, you know, they cut that scene. But again, this is a very cool movie. I do recommend people watching this. Again, it has a very good cast to it. Trying to see here. Again, Facebook. The Internet Movie Database really changed around their entire pages, so it's a little bit more difficult to find all the information into it. I can never say Bo's last name. It's S-V-E-N-S-O-N. He's very good in the film, too. Some of you would, if you're really into your horror, could go back to Snow Beast from 1977. He's in that film. I thought he did a fair job in that one. I think he does a much better job in this movie. Having said all that, we're going to cut tonight's show pretty short. Again, it's New Year's Eve. Not a lot of people are probably going to hear this right away. We're going to actually play two closeout tracks for our show. We have them queued up here. They will be going off in just a moment. We're going to play this one that we found from a band called, and I really don't know how to say this, so I'm going to spell it. It's V-O-O-D-E-V-I-L-L-E. So, Voodooville, I guess is maybe how you say it. It's the Halloween theme, obviously John Carpenter cover track here. This came off of Bandcamp, just to let you know that much. And it's one of those tracks that if we give out credit of who's playing, which we always do, we then have permission to play it. Our second track to kind of close out for the night, and let's face it, is a vampire track. Dracula, in fact, and it's from the band Mystic Prophecy, which is a pretty cool band with an album out there that I would say recommend you to check it out. And with that, look, I pretty much wish everyone a safe and happy new year. I hope 2021 is a hell of a lot better. I've been reading some posts online of people losing fathers and sisters and mothers. It's, you know, the year is just closing out on a sour note for so many. I do want to also inform people, hey, if you can, spare a few dollars over to Hillsborough Road. My friend Eric Kozlov is working on this film. They're trying to get 10,000 for it. They're right now basically scraping about 4,100. I'm going to chip in a few bucks. I wish I could chip in a lot more, but, you know, the money has been very tight, and it's very tight for everyone else. So they're going to make this film regardless of how much they earn in the donation pile. So be aware of that. All right, so that's about it. You've been listening to The Baron's Crypt. I believe our show here was 257 with your host, Baron Craze. In the past couple of days, I've given you nothing but shows, and more shows. Kind of giving you a hint of what's going to happen in 2021. With all these pre-recorded ones, I think we're going to have a lot of fun in doing shows. Just to let you know, we always take about the first 2 weeks off of the new year for doing shows. It just gives us time to recoup and set out for the new year. With that being said, thanks for listening in, sharing this, and hey, if you ever want to be on the show, you're a filmmaker or you're a fan, reach out to us on Baron's Crypt on Facebook, or myself, Baron Craze, on Facebook, or hit us up on Twitter, and we'll be more than happy to have you on the show. These shows can be done pre-recorded if we need to, or they can be done live. Either way, we'll figure it out. You'll have a great time on the show. Next time we do come back on, we'll be reading a lot of our tweets we got this past year, commenting about different movies and such. So definitely tune in for that. We'll have you that all posted up when that is actually occurring. That's it. We're out.
Darkest black. First ready for your blood, ready for the final last attack.